Week 133 of Brada's Branded Thoughts. We have a interesting show ahead of us because I'm going to talk a lot about Iowa sports. As you may have seen earlier today, we had a very special edition of the podcast that was featuring a former Iowa linebacker named Edmund Miles. If you haven't listened to that interview yet, go on to storycounty.news, click on From the Hawkeye of the Storm, which is our platform for the podcast, and listen to that interview. Very, very interesting listen. Edmund Miles really coming to the defense of Kirk Ferentz and even Chris Doyle and the entire Iowa staff. Had a much different perspective as an African-American player at Iowa. But want to take a few minutes here. I'm joined by someone who has talked to us before on the podcast, a dear old friend. And I don't mean old. Don't take that personally. All right. But a friend of ours who currently lives in the very hot, dry state of California. And that is Ann Hopper. She joins us this evening. You may be the oldest guest we've ever had on the podcast, Ann, but that's okay because wisdom is in the minds of those with gray hair. Am I right?
Can be.
We are taking this opportunity because even though we are going to be lighthearted about this, this is a very solemn occasion that we record this show. This is not like any other podcast we've ever done. This is not like any show I've ever recorded. Primarily when we record the podcast, whether it's myself and my brother, or myself and the Kruko boys, whether it's myself and Amari Spavey or Edmund Miles earlier in the week, typically we try to stick to either strictly news-related items on a Hawkeye front, or we just get lighthearted. We derail, right? We have fun as we're doing it, and to me, that's what this podcast is all about. It's about talking Hawkeye hoops, talking Hawkeye football, and having some fun while we do it. But I thought it was appropriate that we throw all that aside for a show. And we welcome somebody on the show that, although you are a big Hawkeye fan yourself, you and I and many others have had a very difficult week because of the loss, the sudden loss of a dear friend of ours. Not only someone who was a big Hawkeye fan, someone who loved Iowa hoops, someone who was really looking forward to the Iowa basketball season coming up. But more importantly than that, someone who was a good friend, a good mentor, and that is Leon Neal Sells. This past Saturday evening, Leon passed away at the age of 73, very suddenly, very tragically. And it's been a difficult week for myself. I think for many other people. I'm not alone in this, certainly. We think about his family. We think about his close friends. And I'm not going to go into specifics about your relationship with Leon, but you knew Leon well. And I just want to take a few minutes here to discuss who he was. I feel like it would be inappropriate on my part to continue this show platform of speaking without addressing the loss of somebody so special. And who was Leon to you, besides just from a family relative, besides that, who was Leon Sells to you? How would you describe Leon?
Well, he was certainly a very spiritual man. I probably knew him and was around him more when he was a lot younger. He had a good sense of humor. Visited him when he lived in Albuquerque. Eric was just, his oldest son was just a baby. We had some good times, made me laugh. And like you said, he was a Hawkeye fan. But I really didn't get to see him a whole lot as he got older. He took jobs away from his hometown. And of course, I was married, raising a family myself. But I just remember that he was, and he was close to my son. He really mentored him spiritually. He was a good dad. And like I say, he was very spiritual minded, took those responsibilities very seriously. Anyway, he was just a pleasure to be around.
And it is, it's fitting that you talk about him and his strong faith, someone who truly did care about his spirituality, cared about other people's spirituality. He was involved for many, many decades, excuse me, from a full-time ministry standpoint. That takes a lot of self-sacrifice. And he was a hard worker. I mean, this yes. guy didn't quit. I mean, he just quit his last job about 3 months before he passed away. He was working evenings cleaning offices. So guy was a very hard worker. He was did a lot for others in the congregation that he served in. As a person, though, let's think about this from a personality standpoint. Is there ever anybody? Because I've thought about this. There's nobody that I can think of that was a better person from a uniqueness standpoint than Leon. Have you ever met another person like Leon?
Well, probably not quite. You know, everybody's unique. And
he was very unique, though.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, maybe I wasn't around him that much as he got to be adulthood. Because like I said, he went to different towns and had different jobs. Of course, he moved to Albuquerque and so lived there for some years. So that's where I visited with him. But that was it's been a long time ago, too. And it was just like a little mini vacation. But yeah, he was a hard worker. And like I say, had a good sense of humor. Yes, you know, and that kind of ran in the family.
What were your thoughts when you got word Saturday night that he had passed away? What were your initial thoughts?
I was just stunned. I was just absolutely stunned, and couldn't believe it. And so it's just, yeah, it's still hard to really realize that he's gone. Yeah.
It's amazing. And this is something that I hope maybe will get brought up at his memorial service. I went over to a couple of his storage units today. He had a lot of stuff that we were having to sort through. And, of course, the number one thing that we found in the trash was Burger King bags. And we found a receipt from a recent trip to Burger King. And on that receipt was a junior breakfast burrito, 2-pack of cookies, and a coffee. And that was Leon. I could have predicted that. He was a creature of habit, as many people who are in their 70s are, right? But like I said, just one of the more unique people that I think I've ever met, and meant a lot to me. I mean, a guy that set an example, didn't hold a grudge. That's one thing that I appreciate about him. And again, I don't want to get into too detailed of information here. Of course, we're going to save some of that for his memorial service. I did just want to take a few minutes to recognize the loss of someone special, but someone who I think it is a very awesome legacy to reflect on, someone who didn't hold a grudge. I always appreciated about him. You could disagree with Leon. He could feel like he was right. And oftentimes he would not back down. Even if he was blatantly wrong about something. Now, again, these weren't necessarily big issues. We would debate about little things. But if he felt he was right, even initially, and if he realized he was wrong later, he was not going to back down. But what's interesting about it is our debates could be pretty, I don't want to say heated, because that sounds like we were mad at each other. We weren't. But we could strongly disagree with one another, but it was never personal. He never took it to a personal level. He never made it personal. You never felt like he was holding something against you later on. Of course, he had, as I think all of us do, especially someone who has been alive as many years as he had been alive, he went through personal challenges in his life. And I never, ever felt like he held grudges towards anyone. And I think that's extremely admirable.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful trait to have.
I think it's something that many of us can learn from. That's hard to do, not to hold a grudge. It's easier said than done. And of course, again, I know this is small. This is minute on the scale of losing someone that we love. And certainly his family, we think of his sons, his sister, your son, who would be Leon's nephew. And other relatives. We think of them. They're in our thoughts and prayers. But in addition to that, something, again, that is minute on the larger scale of things. I'm not only going to miss sharing daily activities with the guy, I'm going to miss watching Hawkeye basketball with him. And you can say, well, that's not important. That's not significant. Those are some of the better times we had. There, you know, we had lots of different things that we activities that we partook in together that were very important. Some were a lot more important. But I'll always remember Leon coming over for Iowa basketball game on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock. He'd bring a Papa Murphy's pizza. He'd have his little salad bowl just for himself, his little salad bowl and a Pepsi. And that was Leon. You could be yourself around Leon, made you feel comfortable. He was just as big of a fan when you were watching those games as you were. And I know someone who will not ever be replaced. So again, certainly our thoughts and well wishes and prayers go to his family and everyone who is mourning the loss of a very special person in Leon Sells. I do want to talk a little sports here as we record our podcast this evening. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I think we understand that this week has been difficult. And although I do want to briefly recap what happened last week with Iowa football and of course preview what's going to happen tomorrow, I think it's best that we leave this short and sweet and focus our attentions on more important things this week. But Anne, this past week, Iowa football finally kicked off with a 4-point loss to Purdue on the road. Spencer Petras' first start in his young career, finished with no picks, but no touchdowns. Struggled at times. It seemed like in the second and third quarter he struggled, in the first and fourth quarter he struggled. He played better in the second and third quarters. Iowa's running game was tremendous, almost 200 total yards, although they didn't hand the ball to Tyler Goodson at all, not one time. He didn't get one touch in the fourth quarter. I think that's something that Ferentz and the staff have got to correct. That cannot happen to me with as well as he was playing. Now, granted, he did have the fumble that was caused by his own teammate, Cole Banwart, in the first half, but it's inexcusable to not give Tyler Goodson a single touch in the fourth quarter. To me, that's inexcusable. Amir Smith-Marset didn't catch a pass. Now, when asked about that this week, Kirk Ferentz said, well, every receiver wants to catch the ball. And basically, if you get thrown to, you get thrown to. And the receiver that gets thrown to needs to make a play. Maybe that's just coach speak, but to me, Amir Smith-Marset is dynamic enough. I would have felt much better if Kirk Ferentz had gotten up there and said, you're right, we got to get him the ball more. But it was almost one of those things where he's saying, well, Amir's got to eat humble pie and just accept that he's not always going to be the center of attention. Amir Smith-Marset is one of the best athletes, maybe the best player on this Iowa offense. I mean, obviously, I think it's a rhetorical question. How much more should Amir Smith-Marset be involved in the offense to you from your standpoint?
Wow.
Well, he didn't. Remember, he didn't record a single catch on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he should have been throwing the ball. I guess he dropped it the one time or fumbled it or whatever.
He had one drop, I think. And he was thrown to, I think, he had three targets. But to me, my point is, I don't think three targets towards that dynamic of a receiver is enough.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I won't comment on that because I'm not that knowledgeable about it.
Well, what you did comment to me about after the game was the number of penalties Iowa had, 10 penalties for 100 yards. I don't believe all of those were good calls, and I think there were a lot of calls that were missed from Purdue. But correct me if I'm wrong, Iowa cannot afford to have 10 penalties for 100 yards and win.
No, they certainly can't, and that's so, so uncharacteristic of Iowa. They never have fumbles like that, and it was unheard of.
And the turnovers, the two fumbles, and those were crucial fumbles because they were in Iowa, in Purdue territory. I think the one was near the 10. Another one was inside the 30. Ball security is important, and Tyler Goodson and Mekhi Sargent both fumbled. I believe Brandon Smith fumbled once as well. They got that one back, but ball security is going to be an issue. And you can't say, well, we haven't been – I mean, I heard that – I think they had practiced full scrimmaged one time heading into that game, which is ridiculous. But Purdue is in the same spot. To me, that's not an excuse. Everybody's in the same position right now. You've got to just play cleaner football to win a game like this.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you.
Iowa Northwestern, of course, you know Northwestern has had Iowa's number in recent weeks, or excuse me, in recent years. What does Iowa need to do to get win number one? I mean, if they lose tomorrow, I really do believe these next 2 weeks are must wins. You cannot afford to lose to Northwestern or Michigan State. Both those games are at home. Michigan State looks bad. They had 7 turnovers against Rutgers on Saturday. They look like a very bad football team. What does Iowa need to do to beat Northwestern tomorrow afternoon?
Certainly not fumble. Keep focused on the game. Northwestern certainly had a great game last week, so it'll be a challenge for Iowa, but they're home, so that should be a plus. And even though there's no fans in the stadium to cheer them on, hopefully they'll know that everybody else is cheering them on wherever they live. Hopefully they'll have a win. That's what I'm rooting for.
How big of a deal would this be if they lose to Northwestern? I mean, they're 0-2. I think the sky's fallen. I really do, because this is a shortened season. Yeah. It's 8 games. We've already seen Wisconsin. They had to cancel their game, or they chose to cancel their game against Nebraska this week. You cannot start 0-2. If they start 0-2, you can forget about their chances of winning the West.
Yeah. Well, let's be positive and hope that they do win. So, but like I say, it'll be a challenge. So, but hopefully they can correct those mistakes, and maybe another year, another week of practice, and seeing the highlights of the game and seeing where they made mistakes, then they can hopefully overcome those.
Iowa has an opportunity here to be 2-1. I think we'd both agree with that. Winnable game tomorrow, although Northwestern did look good against Maryland. Man, 43-3, I think, was that final score. But Wisconsin, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Wisconsin, COVID-related. I mean, Iowa, we don't want to get to the championship. We don't want Iowa to get to the championship game based on COVID. But we don't know what's going to happen there. They don't seem to have a grasp of it on that football team. And I don't know if that's because players are not being proactive. But Iowa, we know there have been a lot of cases in Iowa. And Iowa seems to be doing okay from a COVID standpoint. So Iowa's got an opportunity here to, of course, win tomorrow and then win next week and be 2-1. And if you're 2-1, you've got 3 games under your belt. I think Iowa has a chance to beat Minnesota on the road that following Friday. So we'll be following the game tomorrow, Iowa Northwestern, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on, I believe, is it ESPN2? I believe it's ESPN2. Let me double check that real quick here. Let's see. And then we found out Iowa Michigan State next week will be 11 a.m. It'll be ESPN tomorrow, regular ESPN tomorrow. No fans, of course, at Kinnick. But Iowa and the Wildcats should be a fun game. You got a prediction, Iowa or Northwestern tomorrow, Ann?
Well, I'm hoping for Iowa. I won't say any more.
I'm going to go Iowa. Northwestern's defense was great last year. They look really good. last week. The difference was their offense looked spectacular as well, which did not look good last year. Of course, Peyton Ramsey, the transfer from Indiana, really helps them. I'm going to go Iowa 31. I'm still hopeful this offense can get going. Iowa 31, Northwestern 21. I still think Iowa's the better team here, but if they don't clean things up, they're going to lose. Isaiah Bowser, the running back for Northwestern, certainly hurt them 2 years ago. Pat Fitzgerald knows how to beat Kirk Ferentz. There's just no question. Very similar to Jeff Brohm. And, of course, with a better quarterback, a very tricky quarterback in Peyton Ramsey, could very easily say that happened. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think Iowa's going to win this game. But I thought after I predicted originally Purdue to win last week. But after I heard Rondale Moore, Jeff Brohm, their starting tailback was out. I mean, that was a real opportunity missed by Iowa. I think we both agree with that.
Yeah.
And after I heard those guys were out, I picked Iowa. So, again, big opportunity miss, but Iowa has a chance to rebound tomorrow. They're not out of the West race. I've heard some people say, well, you can kiss the West goodbye. I'm not buying into that right now. We're sitting here on October 30th. We're 1 week into the season. I'm not going to sit here and say the West is out of reach, but obviously COVID's going to have to, you're going to have to stay proactive with that. And Iowa's got to clean up the turnovers. And I think they will. I think we have faith in Kirk Ferentz to clean up turnovers and to clean up penalties. Anything else to add?
No, again, I just think that they'll clean up those mistakes. They're home, and they just lost by 4 points to Purdue. And so even if they win against Northwestern by four or by even one, that'd be a victory. So that's what I'm hoping for. Hope they win by more than that, but yeah, it'll be a victory.
Well, we see that they beat Maryland by 40, and I'd be happy with a one-point win. So now Maryland I don't think is a very good football team right now, but certainly it's going to be a challenge, and it is in Kinnick. That's an advantage, even though there's no fans. I would have to think that would be in favor of Iowa. Well, we're not going to do our Pick'em segment this week. Of course, we don't have our regular other guests on the show, or our analysts, whatever you want to call them. This has been a solemn occasion. I did want to talk a little bit about Iowa football, but again, we are going to miss Leon Sells dearly. We already do. I'm going to miss seeing him during Iowa football games. I'm going to miss seeing him on a day-to-day basis. Again, thoughts and prayers to his family, his friends, a dear loss, I think, for everyone involved. So again, Ann, we do appreciate you coming on here, kind of short notice. We appreciate the words, and I thought this was appropriate and necessary given the circumstances. We couldn't just ignore, what happened. So, thank you for listening. For many that didn't know Leon, that's okay. This was our show this evening, and hopefully you can relate. I'm sure you've lost someone that you love dearly, and you know how it feels, or perhaps even tragically. But we can all look forward to Hawkeye football, be a bit of a diversion tomorrow for a year that's been a very, very difficult one for many, many people on many different levels. So Iowa Northwestern tomorrow, we'll enjoy it. Hawkeye football at 2:30 p.m. That game will kick off, I believe, actually 2:35 p.m. on ESPN. Kirk Ferentz versus Pat Fitzgerald, Hawkeyes and Wildcats on ESPN. We will talk to you next week. This has been week 133 of Brada's Branded Thoughts. We'll be back with our full formatted show, week 134, next week here on Brada's Branded Thoughts. Have a good night. Watch some Hawkeye football tomorrow. Let's get a victory. Go Hawks.